And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The fire of God fell upon the early church in the book of Acts, and their numbers increased greatly. Could God be doing something like that yet again, now in our time? Is there a spiritual awakening about to happen, especially amongst the men aged 30 to 45? Will God pour out his spirit upon the college campuses where we have heard from the river to the sea and all the woke liberal left politics? Will God move once again amongst his people and awaken his church from their spiritual slumber? Listen in as we unpack these questions. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. Today is June 8th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Numbers 5, 1-15. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Instruct the Israelites to remove from camp anyone with an eruption or a discharge and anyone defiled by a corpse. Remove male and female alike. Put them outside the camp so that they do not defile the camp of those in whose midst I dwell." The Israelites did so, putting them outside the camp as Hashem had spoken to Moses. So the Israelites did. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelites. When a man or woman commits any wrong toward a fellow man, thus breaking faith with Hashem, and that person realizes his guilt, he shall confess the wrong that he has done. He shall make restitution in the principal amount and add one-fifth to it, giving it to him whom he has wronged. If the man has no kinsman to whom restitution can be made, the amount repaid shall go to Hashem for the Kohen, in addition to the ram of expiation with which expiation is made on his behalf. So too, any gift among the sacred donations that the Israelites offer shall be the Kohen's, and each shall retain his sacred donations. Each Kohen shall keep what is given to him." Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Bnei Israel and say to them, if any man's wife has gone astray and broken faith with him, in that a man has had carnal relations with her, unbeknownst to her husband, and she keeps secret the fact that she has defiled herself without being forced, and there is no witness against her, but a fit of jealousy comes over him, and he is wrought up about the wife who has defiled herself, or if a fit of jealousy comes over one and he is wrought up about his wife, although she has not defiled herself, the man shall bring his wife to the Kohen, and he shall bring as an offering for her one-tenth of an ephah of barley flour. No oil shall be poured upon it, and no frankincense shall be laid on it, for it is a meal offering of jealousy, a meal offering of remembrance which recalls wrongdoing." 1 Kings 3, 3-4:34. And Solomon, though he loved Hashem and followed the practices of his father David, also sacrificed and offered at the shrines. The king went to Gibbon to sacrifice there, for that was the largest shrine. On that altar, Solomon presented 1,000 burnt offerings. At Gibbon, Hashem appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and Hashem said, "Ask, what shall I grant you?" And Solomon said, "You dealt most graciously with your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in integrity of heart. You have continued this great kindness to him by giving him a son to occupy his throne, as is now the case. And now, Hashem, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am a young lad with no experience in leadership. Your servant finds himself in the midst of the people. You have chosen a people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Grant then your servant an understanding mind to judge your people, to distinguish between good and bad, for who can judge this vast people of yours? Hashem was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, and Hashem said to him, Because you asked for this, you did not ask for long life, you did not ask for riches, you did not ask for the life of your enemies, but you asked for discernment in dispensing justice. I now do as you have spoken. I grant you a wise and discerning mind. There has never been anyone like you before, nor will anyone like you arise again. And I also grant you what you did not ask for, both riches and glory all your life, the like of which no king has ever had. And I will further grant you long life, if you will walk in my ways and observe my laws and commandments, as did your father David. Then Solomon awoke. It was a dream. He went to Jerusalem, stood before the ark, and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented offerings of well-being. And he made a banquet for all his courtiers. Later, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The first woman said, Please, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. On the third day after I was delivered, this woman also gave birth to a child. We were alone. There was no one else with us in the house, just the two of us in the house. During the night, this woman's child died because she lay on it. She arose in the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant was asleep, and laid him in her bosom, and she laid her dead son in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, it was not the son I had born. The other woman spoke up, No, the live one is my son, and the dead one is yours. But the first insisted, No, the dead boy is yours, mine is the live one. And they went on arguing before the king. The king said, One says, This is my son, the live one, and the dead one is yours. And the other says, No, the dead boy is yours, mine is the live one. So the king gave the order, Fetch me a sword. A sword was brought before the king, and the king said, Cut the live child in two and give half to one and half to the other. But the woman whose son was the live one pleaded with the king, for she was overcome with compassion for her son. Please, my lord, she cried, give her the live child, only don't kill him. The other insisted, it shall be neither yours nor mine, cut it in two. Then the king spoke up, give the live child to her, he said, and do not put it to death. She is the mother. When all Israel heard the decision that the king had rendered, they stood in awe of the king, for they saw that he possessed divine wisdom to execute justice. King Solomon was now king over all Israel. These were his officials: Azariah, son of Zadok, the Kohen, Elihoreph, and Akiah, sons of Shisha, scribes, Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, recorder, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, over the army, Zadok and Avyartar, Kohanim, Azariah, son of Natan, in charge of the prefects, Zabud, son of Natan the Kohen, companion of the king, Ahishar, in charge of the palace, and Adonimam, son of Abda, in charge of the forced labor. Solomon had 12 prefects governing all Israel, who provided food for the king and his household. Each had to provide food for 1 month in the year, and these were their names: Ben-Hur in the hill country of Ephraim, Ben-Decker in Makaz, Shalbim, Bet-Shemesh and Elon-Bet-Hanan, Ben-Hesed in Arubath, he governed Sako and all the Hefer area, Ben-Abinadab in all of Naphath, Dor, Solomon's daughter Tahath was his wife, Bana, son of Ahilud in Tanakh, and Megiddo and all Bet-Shean, which is beside Zarethan below Israel, from Bet-Shean to Abel-Meholah, as far as the other side of Jokmeam. Ben-Geber in Ramoth-Gilead, he governed the villages of Ya'ir, son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, and he also governed the district of Argob, which is in Bashan, 60 large towns with walls and bronze bars. Ahinadab, son of Edo in Mahanaim, Ahimaaz in Naphtali, he too took a wife of Solomon, Basemath, to wife, Baana, son of Hushi in Asher and Beloth, Jehoshaphat, son of Parua in Issachar, Shimei, son of Elah in Benjamin, Geber, son of Uri in the region of Gilead, the country of Shihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and one prefect who was in the land. Yehuda and Israel were as numerous as the sands of the sea. They ate and drank and were content. And Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tipsah even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. And these governors, each man in his month, provided food for King Solomon and for all who came to King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place for the horses and steeds, each man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. And the men of all nations from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Acts 6, 1-15. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spoke. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Psalm 126, 1-6. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Proverbs 16:26-27. He that labors, labors for himself, for his mouth craves it of him. An ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. I'd like to speak to you today from our reading from 1 Kings chapter 3 and 4, and then we're going to jump into the book of Acts. And I'd like to begin with Solomon's request. He asks the Lord a very specific request. So in chapter 3, verse 9, 1 Kings 3, verse 9, he says, "Grant then your servant an understanding mind to judge your people, to distinguish between good and bad, for who can judge this vast people of yours?" The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. King Solomon attains prophecy, and Hashem asks him what he desires. Though he could have sought riches or long life, he asks for an understanding mind, so that he can properly judge the children of Israel. According to Jewish tradition, King Solomon becomes the wisest of all men and masters all subjects and languages, even those of the animals. He also demonstrates deep understanding of human beings, as demonstrated by the well-known case described in this chapter, where he correctly discerns who is the true mother of a disputed baby. The people of Israel rejoice in their king's wisdom, and they unite behind him. This is King Solomon's reward by asking Hashem for something that would not only help him, but would bring benefit to the nation and the entire world. Going beyond one's own individual needs to serve the nation is one of the signs of a true leader. Continuing on in this chapter, King Solomon is now the king over all of Israel, and in chapter 4, all the different leaders and officials were named. And in verse 20 of chapter 4, it is written, "Yehuda and Israel were as numerous as the sands of the sea. They ate and drank and were content." The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Unlike King David, who began his rule only over Judah, King Solomon rises to power over a united kingdom comprising all of Judah and Israel. As Radok notes, everyone in the kingdom recognizes King Solomon's rule due to the universal recognition of his God-given wisdom. The chapter ends with the reward for unity among the people of Israel. They become as numerous as the sand on the seashore and successful in the land of Israel, thereby seeing the fulfillment of the blessing that Hashem gave to Abraham. And so now I want to jump into Acts chapter 6. And there is an issue that arises where the disciples are told that The Greek women are complaining because they're being neglected in the daily ministration of waiting on the tables and making sure that the widows are fed. And so the 12 decide, well, we don't want to be taken away from our study of the word, our preaching of the word, and our daily prayers. So let's appoint some godly men to take care of this need. And so one of those godly men is Stephen. They chose Stephen and some others to wait upon the tables for the Greek widows. And in verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So I want to just unpack that. And so we're seeing here that the numbers of people believing in Christ Jesus as their Savior is greatly spreading. Their numbers are increasing greatly. And right after that, we also see some persecution rising up. So whenever the Spirit of God begins to move in a powerful and a mighty way, often there's pushback from the enemy and there's persecution that arises up. Now, I just want to make a connection to the United States of America and the last 4 years and the year that we're in right now. The last 4 years under the Biden regime were very dark, and we saw tremendous persecution. We saw the J6ers, over 1,200 of them, put in prison and jail in the Washington, D.C. gulag. We saw a lot of persecution against Christians in the State Department and through the private sector, and it was a dark, dark time. A lot of people drifted away from the church, especially during the COVID time of lockdown, when many of the churches closed their doors and you could just watch services online remotely on YouTube, and people just fell out of the habit of going to church anywhere. And even though the lockdown is over, people just did not return to church. And it has been a dark time. But what we are seeing now is a resurgence, especially among young men in the age group of about 30 to 45. So in that age group, a lot of the men are returning back to church. They're hungry. They're seeking. They want to reconnect with the Lord. They're tired of all of the woke, liberal, left politics that was being shoved out the door to us through the mainstream media channels. And they want to see true leadership, godly leadership, and biblical values. And so a lot of these men, age 30 to 45, or even 30 to 50, they're coming back to the Word of God. They're coming back to church. They're hungry. They're seeking. And it's a resurgence. It's like a spiritual awakening. And it's slow. It's quiet. It's not making big news headlines, but it is definitely happening. It's happening on some of the college campuses. It's happening in corporate America, in the private sector. People are waking up and returning to the things of God, to the moral compass that went so haywire and went so wacko. People want the truth. They want moral values clarified. No more gray. No more man decides for himself what's right and wrong. There's your truth and my truth and that other person's truth, but there's one truth, and it's found in the Word of God. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Heavenly Father, I pray that even as it happened in the book of Acts, that the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. I pray, Lord, for today that in the U.S., in Europe, in South America, in Singapore, in Canada, Mexico, throughout South America, Lord, Australia, New Zealand, throughout the nations, I pray, Lord, that your people would awaken from their slumber and would come back to you and come back to reconnecting with Jesus Christ. And it's good to read the word. It's good to listen to the word, but it's very good to also connect to a local congregation, a local church, a local assembly where they can hear the word of God being taught and connect with other believers who are of like mind, heart, and spirit. And so, Father, I just pray that you will stir this up, that you will blow with your Holy Spirit wind upon the embers of people, the embers of the fire that you want to see rise up throughout the nations, the fire of God, the Holy Spirit burning in our bones. We thank you, Father, for your word, for the plumb line of truth. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yevrekah Adonai Vishmerekah Yayeh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panavilaka
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.